ఆత్మానాం చ ప్రవయసం ఆకలయ్య విషంపతిః వనం విరక్తః ప్రాతిష్ఠత్ విమర్శన్నాత్మనో గతిం. Go to a translation. Atmanam, himself, cha, also, pravayasam, advanced in age, agalaya, considering, vichampatihi, King Uttanapad, vanam, to the forest, viraktaha, detached, pratishthat, departed. Vimrishan, deliberating on. Atmanaha, of the self. Gatim, salvation. Translation. After considering his advanced age and deliberating on the welfare of his spiritual self, King Uttanapad detached himself from worldly affairs and entered the forest. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is the sign of a Rajarshi. King Uttanapad was very opulent and was emperor of the world. And these attachments were certainly very great. Modern politicians are not as great as king like Maharaj Uttanapad, but because they get some political power for some days, they become so much attached to their positions that they never retire unless they are removed from their post by cruel death or killed by some opposing political party. It is within our experience that the politicians in India do not quit their positions until death. This was not the practice in olden days, as it is evident from the behavior of King Uttanapad. Immediately after installing his worthy son Dhruva Maharaj on the throne, he left his home and palace. There are hundreds and thousands of instances like this in which kings in their mature age would give up their kingdoms and go to the forest to practice austerity. Practice of austerity is the main business of human life. As Maharaj Dhruva practiced austerity in this early age, his father Maharaj Uttanapad in his old age also practiced austerity in the forest. In modern days, however, it is not possible to give up one's home and go to the forest to practice austerity. But if people of all ages would take shelter of the Krishna consciousness movement and practice the simple austerities of no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling and no meat eating, and chant the Hare Krishna mantra regularly 16 rounds. By this practical method, it would be very easy task to get salvation from this material world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 4th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home.
ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణారఘునాదాన్యుతం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణాలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గోరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పదితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ.
The last verse of this chapter, wherein we can see that King Uttanapad, the father of Dhruva Maharaj, is retiring from his kingdom and his occupation as an emperor. This verse is very important because Srila Prabhupada brings out many practical points for everyone's life, which is about retirement. So retirement is very important aspect of human life. Generally, everyone focuses on development in the childhood, education, and a life of career. So there is not so much talked about retirement in this world. However, the modern trend is that life starts at the age of 60. Why is it so? Because by then one has amassed a decent amount of money and there are not many obligations. There is no job. Now it is a time to travel and enjoy. So the life starts at the age of 60. If you fly around, if you go to India, if you go to catch any flight to overseas, you will find many old people flying to Australia. Why is it so? Same thing. They want to have a good time here. This is the time for sightseeing, traveling around. So this is the modern trend about retirement. It is a time to enjoy. Now there are not much botheration. Even the body is not working very well, at least the given time we can start spending money and try to enjoy the in this world, which no one can enjoy. So this is what's going on at this point. However, the Vedic understanding of retirement is completely different. Panchasha urdham vanam vrajet. This is the Vedic injunction. Panchasha means 50 years. Urdham means as one passes. Urdham means or above. If one passes 50 years, vanam vrajet, one must go to the forest. It's not one can go to the forest. Vrajet means it is one must go to the forest. So this is the Vedic injunction that one has to retire from an active life at the age of 50. Considering in this age, maximum longevity is 100 years. 50 years are dedicated for different activities, and after 50, one has to leave this world. So all the material affairs are given up and go to the forest. It can look very much bewildering for all of us. 50 years, leaving the family, engaging only in devotional service, it can look a bit bewildering. However, that is the standard. And to bewilder us more, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, there are definitions and classifications for Vanaprastha or the retired life. I will just read that verse. What is it meant to be a Vedic Vanaprasthi? So it is given. Vaikhana Valakhayo Dumbara Phenapa Vane Nyase Kudijiga Purvam Bhavado Hamsa Nishkriyo. So here there is classification of Vanaprasthas and Sannyas are given. The first class of Vanaprastha is known as Vaikhanasa. Vaikhanasa is the section of men who retire from active life and live on half-boiled meals. So this is the first class of Vanaprastha. He retires from the life, active life, and the food is only half-boiled meal. Second, Valakhiya. Valakhiya, one who quits his former stock of grains on receipt for more. So if he gets some food items, or if they say maybe a farmer, or if there is some crop that is coming, whatever is in the old stock, that is given away, and just accepts the new stock and lives on that. Third, Audambara, one who lives on what he gets from the direction towards which he starts after rising from bed. So he gets up in the morning, whichever direction he gets up, he starts walking, and whatever comes on his way, he will accept as his food. And the fourth class, I don't know whether anyone wants to hear, because already it is looking very lofty. Anyway, I will read. This is what Bhagavatam is telling. Fenapaha, Fenapaha, one who lives on the fruits which automatically falls from the tree in the forest. So these are the different kinds of vanaprasthas. So some of them, what do they do? What is the first one? You don't have to tell the Sanskrit name, but what do they do? Half-boiled meal. Only half-boiled meal. Second class? Exactly. Accept the new stock and give up the old stock. And the third one? Exactly. Where, whichever direction he gets up, he starts walking, and whatever comes on the way will accept and eat. And the fourth one? Fruits which are fallen on the ground in the forest, he will pick and eat. The question arises, why such a person does austerities? The point is, Vanaprastha life is a life of austerity. All life, all different ashrams have their own austerities, but Vanaprastha life, the prime principle of Vanaprastha life is austerity. So it is even more than all other ashrams, the principle of Vanaprastha life is austerity, because one has already gone through an active worldly life with family, where one has so many responsibilities and there is certain licenses for enjoyment. Now one is giving up all of them, and now is the time for austerity, so that one can refocus on the spiritual life. Now one may ask a question, can we apply any of these principles in ISKCON at this current point? Probably not. If we start eating half-boiled meal at the, you know, after 50, not even after 50, even before, one will have stomach problem. That's the reality. We cannot have half-boiled stuff. We don't have the capacity. We are weak. Then we don't have any stock coming to give up new stock, you know. We don't have anything coming through. It is difficult. And if we get up in one direction and start walking, I don't think we'll get anything to eat probably. And if you want fruits from the tree which is fallen already, where are the trees, where are the fruits? Not there. So we cannot, on a practical level, we cannot apply any of these principles directly, literally, in our life. Then what does it mean to be a Vanaprastha in ISKCON? It's a very important question. And also, we can see this is a topsy-turvy age, the age of Kali Yuga, where people may accept sannyas at the age of 25 and one may give up and accept grihastha at the age of 50. It is other way around, because this is Kali Yuga. That happens because this is a dying age, this is an intense age. We have to accept the realities of life. If it is so, how can we apply these principles? That's why it is mentioned that a practical definition of Vanaprastha in ISKCON is that not necessarily depending on the age. At the age of 50, not everyone can retire worldly affair, because there may not be anything to live on. That's a practical scene. It may be a bit more advanced than 50 years. And at the same time, a vanaprastha can be called as a vanaprastha if there is no much responsibility of raising children. That responsibility is completed. Second, there is not so much of focus on the career, because at least some savings are there to survive upon, and that is there. Then the primary focus is Krishna consciousness, as it is mentioned in this purport. Then one can say that one is in the vanaprastha ashram. So there is not much responsibility of raising the kids, that is completed. Second, there is not so much of demand for earning money, because that has already been done. There is some provision to live on. Then one can consider one is in vanaprastha, and this is the time one can engage completely or to a great degree again in devotion service. So it is mentioned in ISKCON, at least some temples and some places, vanaprastha ashram is engaged, because now there are devotees who are matured, who have realizations, whose sadhana is very good, who can guide others, and at the same time there is not so much of demand from the family, nor there is not financial demand. Now is the time to use their mature wisdom and abilities in service of Krishna. So this is a very important section of our society who have to be properly engaged to serve Krishna. His Holiness Jananda Goswami Maharaj, he is a person in ISKCON who is planning and making sure that something happens with the vanaprastha ashram. So everyone has to go through vanaprastha ashram. It's not just an option. It is, one has to do it. This is our life. Now I'll make 2 points. What are the qualifications to come to the vanaprastha ashram? If one wants to come to vanaprastha ashram, which many devotees aspire for, if one is not aspiring for, there is a problem. One has to aspire to come to the stage of vanaprastha after going through work and everything, to retire and focusing only on devotional service. One has to aspire for that. What are the qualifications or the prerequisites to come to that platform? First one is, one needs training in brahmacharya. It is very important that one gets training in brahmacharya. Why training in brahmacharya is so important? Because in brahmacharya one is trained that one can live a life which is directly focused on sadhana and seva, and there are no other occupations. Everything is focused on sadhana and seva, and one is forced to live a simple life. One doesn't have so many opulences. One has to share room or space with many other people, and one has to strictly follow a regime, a routine from morning till night, and lot of services. So then in the brahmacharya life, one realizes that one can be very happy by a simple living. One can be very contented and by engaging in Krishna service and living a simple life, one can be completely happy. One doesn't need so much of material opulence. One gets a practical realization of this. In addition, it is an opportunity to control the senses. All the senses can be controlled. If one has to maintain brahmacharya, one has to control all the senses, because otherwise it becomes hard to control the senses. So one gets an opportunity to control the senses and mind and be engaged in Krishna service without much material opulence and still be happy and satisfied. Thus, one gets the realization that we are actually spirit soul and we are not so much dependent on the externals for our inner happiness and satisfaction. Okay, so that's why. Second, one need to have appreciation. Even if one goes through the brahmacharya ashram, if one enters grihastha ashram, still one need appreciation for renunciation. Why is it so? If one doesn't have appreciation for renunciation, then it is impossible to come to a stage of vanaprastha, which is again a renounced ashram. One thinks it was a waste of time, brahmacharya was a waste of time, one thinks in that way, then what's the possibility for such a person to come to the stage of vanaprastha or retired life? One may probably want to catch up whatever one missed out by spending time in Brahmachari Ashram. I want to catch up. I haven't done so many things for a few years. Now this is the time to enjoy. That's the wrong mentality of entering Brahmachari. So from going out from Brahmachari Ashram and entering Grihastha Ashram. So one has to continue the mood of renunciation, a simple life, even in the Grihastha Ashram. So the principle again continues that if one is addicted to material opulence, even in Grihastha Ashram, even if one is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it becomes very difficult to retire. Because one thinks, you know, how can I retire? Because I need so many comforts. I need so many things. So, and for in this world, to have those comforts, it doesn't come for free. One has to work hard, earn money. So the spiritual focus in the Grihastha Ashram will go away. The whole aim becomes money making and having a bigger house and comparing with others. So the whole consciousness, it gets diverted. So one has to be very careful when one enters Grihastha Ashram. Yes, again, it's a point that not everyone gets training as a Brahmachari or a Brahmacharini. It may not happen. But still, one can imbibe the principles and move forward in one's Grihastha life. And of course, we have seen here Grihasthas who have done that, who have retired, who are now just focusing only on spiritual life. So we can take their guidance. We can see their examples. So there is ample of examples around us. We should never think that there are no examples. In Krishna consciousness, the very interesting thing is that wherever we want to go or whatever progress we want to make, we can see those who are already made those advancements in perfection. In terms of Grihastha Ashram, in terms of Vanaprastha, in terms of Sannyas, in terms of Brahmachari, whatever. We can see those who actually perfected those stages in Ashram and those who are perfected in Krishna consciousness. That is, or as a long-term goal, we can see examples, not just the theory, but we can see the examples. Then we can see immediate examples also. Those who are just ahead of us, who we may get inspired by. Okay, he's like me. He's just above me. He what he wants to do, I can achieve. And he's not far out there. He's just above me. And if I work towards this direction, I can get to his stage. When we are at that stage, we'll see, oh, there are some devotees who are doing better than that. So this is a very progressive stage, not just in terms of classification of bhakti or progressive stages of bhakti, but in terms of practical examples in this society. So this is very important. Next, if you see the lives of great teachers in Srimad Bhagavatam, they instructed the children in the strict principles of Krishna consciousness, in the strict principles of controlling the mind and the senses, Brahmacharya, etc. In Srila Prabhupada, even in this purport, of course, the human form of life is meant for austerities. Who instructs that in Srimad Bhagavatam? Rishabhadev, that's right. There is a very important verse by Rishabhadev, right? Rishabhavacha 551. Nayan deho deha bhajo kashtan kaman arhade vidbhujanye tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyet yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. So Rishabhadev, he gets all his 100 sons, right? And then instructs. And the first son is Bharat Maharaj. And he instructs all of them. He says, Nayam deho deha bhajo. We are not just this body. That's the first instruction. Just like Krishna gives the instruction in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. First instruction is, Nayam deho deha bhajo. Then he says, Kashtan kama narhade vidbhujane. Why one has to try to enjoy materially? Why one has to go through the sense gratification? Human life is not meant for sense gratification because it is even available for hogs who eat stool. Vidbhujan. Vidbhujan means one who eats stool. Even such abominable species, sense gratification is available. Whatever humans are trying hard to get, it is freely available in such lower species of life. So why one struggle hard in human form of life? For just sense gratification. Then he makes the point, tapo divyam. human form of life is meant to perform austerities in Krishna consciousness. That is divyam tapa. Tapo divyam putraka. He addresses all his putras, all his sons. Yes, Mat, what is the benefit of that? Brahma saukhyam tu anantam. One can get Brahma saukhyam, the ultimate happiness in Krishna consciousness, which is unlimited. As Bhagavad Gita says, it is the matter of developing a higher taste. So there is a taste in austerity. If we control our mind and senses, there is a taste in that. So controlling the mind and senses and performing austerity, it is not just a painful thing. One may initially think that, you know, it's just painful. However, as in conjunction to that, one can see that one can engage those senses and mind in Krishna service. So as one controls the mind and senses, the same mind and senses can be used in Krishna service. That gives us joy. And that makes controlling the mind and senses worthwhile. So this is a practical realization. It's a practical realization one can get, that the sweetness in controlling the mind and senses, because one can think about Krishna and think about Krishna and serving Krishna means it's all sweet. So that is the benefit of controlling the mind and senses. That's why he mentioned tabo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyet. Sattvam shuddhyet means one purifies one's consciousness. Yes, but because of that, brahma saukhyam tu anantam. So a devotee's life, one can progressively realize how by controlling mind and senses and engaging in devotional service, one become happier. Even though externally situations may not look that great. This is a realization everyone has to get. And one actually goes through that. That is the stage of, for example, coming to the stage of vanapras. That is in through going through the grihastha ashram. The realization of grihastha ashram is that working outside, having family, that doesn't work in terms of Krishna consciousness. That's not going to give us happiness. Happiness is only obtained through Krishna consciousness. That is the perfection of grihastha ashram. Perfection of grihastha ashram is retirement. You understand? The perfection of grihastha ashram is giving up the grihastha ashram. That is the perfection of grihastha ashram. Yeah, that's the whole purpose of grihastha ashram, is to understand this is not going to work. I thought having a child I'll be happy. I thought getting a job I'll be happy. I thought getting a house I'll be happy. Getting a husband I'll be happy. I thought so many different things, and I'm going through everything, and I'm realizing it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So the happiness in my life is serving Krishna. So when one realizes, okay, now it's the time I can be completely engaged in Krishna service. So that is the whole purpose of grihastha ashram. Same thing we can see in the life of Priyavrata. Priyavrata is a classic example, because we are talking about Uttanapad right here. Who is the brother of Uttanapad? Priyavrata. Priyavrata, he was completely detached from material affairs, even from his childhood. Then he got the instruction of Narada Muni. So Narada Muni told Priyavrata, no need to get into grihastha life. You go and start devotional service in Gandhamadana mountains. So he left family in early childhood. He just left. Childhood itself, he left. And he started practicing Brahmacharya. He started practicing devotional service in Gandhamadana mountain. And ages, actually thousands and thousands of years passed. He didn't know. He was just completely absorbed in devotional service. King Uttanapad came, he ruled the kingdom. All this episode, what we are discussing, everything went through. And now Dhruvamaraj is the king. And his son also became king. So generations passed by. Still, Swayambhu Manu is still the Manvantara of Swayambhu Manu, who is the father of King Uttanapad and Priyavrata. He is still there. In the same Manvantara, many, many generations passed. Still, what happened? At one point, there were no kings to rule. Then Swayambhu Manu, he was very much worried, because he thought, I have to retire. I cannot go on looking after my sons and who is going to look after this kingdom. I don't want such botheration. So I need a king to rule over, because that is his responsibility. At the same time, Swayambhu Manu understood that if I go and if I try to convince my son to come back to family life, he will not listen to me, because he is under the instruction of his guru, Narada Muni, who is a very powerful personality. So he got Narada Muni, he got Lord Brahma himself. So Lord Brahma came in the swan carrier, along with different demigods, Narada Muni and Swayambhu Manu. Everyone assembled in Gandhamadana mountain and tried to request Priyavrata to stop his austerities, stop his brahmacharya, and now enter into family life. So there Brahma very beautifully tries to convince Priyavrata to enter into family life. So it's a very beautiful presentation by Lord Brahma. In those conversations, we can understand how Brahma is a personification of intelligence. He presents in such a way that Priyavrata gets convinced. And he, of course, he takes the name of the Supreme Lord. One powerful argument Lord Brahma gives is, don't be envious of the Supreme Lord. One of the arguments given by Priyavrata is, don't be envious of the Supreme Lord. And he gives, just like everyone has to follow the rules and regulations given by the Supreme Lord, and don't be envious of him. So he makes such a statement to prove that Brahma is representing the Supreme Lord. So if he is not listening from Brahma, means he is not listening from the Supreme Lord. So it is the will of the Supreme Lord that Priyavrata stop brahmacharya and accept grihasthashram and rule over the world. Then he gives many examples that we had to follow the Supreme Lord, and Brahma is actually representing the Supreme Lord at this moment, so he has to accept. Then Priyavrata gets convinced, and then he comes, he starts ruling the world. He was a great king. Then he gets married and he continues his family life. But as the time comes, Priyavrata comes to the conclusion, what did I do? I was never thinking about this worldly affair at all. I wasted my time. Now is the time to retire. He just left everything and he just left. And he went again, started continuing his devotion life. And he went back home, back to Godhead. So the point is, since he had the training, he could retire immediately. Same with Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj got instructed by Rishabhadev. It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam how Bharat Maharaj gave up everything, how he got detached. Just like it's mentioned in Bhagavatam, if one passes, one is not attached to what one passes, he just passes and just goes away. Because one is not attached. It is waste, it is stinking. In the same way, Bharat Maharaj gave up all his kingdom, his beautiful wife, children, everyone, and everything, he just gave up and he left. So he was completely convinced. And then we know what happened to Bharat Maharaj in his life and in his future lives. So we can see, everyone followed, as it is mentioned in this purport, all the great kings followed detachment, retirement. Now, when we come to ISKCON, devotee's plan. Devotee's plan is, we also want to retire. And many devotees' plan is, we need a house in the dham. When I speak to many of the grihasthas, this is the buzzing word for many, many years, quite a few years. Everyone is talking, you know, we want a house in the dham. One in Mayapur, one in Vrindavan, that's going to be our retirement. So yes, there's nothing wrong in it. It is very good to have house in Mayapur, Vrindavan, etc. At the same time, one has to work towards qualification to stay in the dham, which is very important. There are some cases are there where now the only objective is making money. Devotion service and serious devotion service only after retirement. Do you think it's going to work? We will become serious only after retirement. Still no. We'll take it easy. We may push through our 16 rounds. Other than that, don't ask too much. It doesn't work, because one has to be qualified to enter into the dham mode. Whether we stay in the dham or if we stay here, doesn't matter. If you want to come to the consciousness of dham, one has to put some effort. Otherwise, one will not get to that consciousness. So it is mentioned, one need two things at least. One is, even as a practicing devotee, one need proper engagement here. If you are living in Melbourne, we need proper engagement while living in Melbourne. For retirement, not after retirement. Now we need proper engagement. Second, we need proper sadhana. So which include chanting, studying shastra. Both are very important. If you don't have these two, if you don't cultivate these two, there is no question of proper retirement. I was speaking to, always I speak to, Sri Radhavallabha Prabhu, who is, you know, doing Dham Seva, serving for TOVP. He, one time he shared his realization. We know he's very busy. Whoever knows Sri Radhavallabha Prabhu, you know, he's just always running from post to pillar all the time, you know, just so many things are going on, there's no time. And he's extending himself, doing this, doing that, taking care of this, that, like it is going on all the time. So he mentioned a very interesting point. He said, those who come to Dham without proper engagement, whatever consciousness they had before, they may try to control for some time, maybe a few months. After that, one will have the same consciousness. There is no difference. You may be staying in Dham, in Mayapur or Vrindavan, but the consciousness is the same consciousness what one had in Melbourne or elsewhere. Same thing, there is no difference. So if you are staying in the Dham, one needs service. The Prabhu has still energy, he is not that old. So he is fully engaged in Krishna service. If you don't have service, staying in the Dham is a waste of time. Rather, one can commit offenses. If you do some offenses here, it has less impact. But if you do in the Dham, it's worse. So one has to be very careful. But generally, Srila Prabhupada's recommendation is a lifetime of service, a lifetime of sadhana. Then at the end, one can retire in the holy Dham. If one becomes invalid, one cannot do anything, yes, one can retire there. That should be the mood. Unless one has service, a full engagement is there in holy Dham, fine. Otherwise, the mood should be, I will preach or I will do service rest of my life and only at the end I will retire in the Dham. What did Srila Prabhupada say? Srila Prabhupada said, I want to die in the battlefield. What, that's the mood of Srila Prabhupada? I want to die in the battlefield. In fact, that time, Jayapataka Maharaj and Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj, both were there along with Srila Prabhupada. So both of them told the same thing. We will also die in the battlefield. We can see how these great devotees are carrying the same mood. Means serve till leaving the world. Jayapataka Maharaj says about Srila Prabhupada, what was his Nirjan Bhajan? What was Srila Prabhupada's Nirjan Bhajan? Maybe last few months in Vrindavan. That is his Nirjan Bhajan. Nirjan Bhajan means, you know, secluded bhajan, secluded devotion service. But he was secluded in the sense, still with the devotees, but he is completely internally absorbed. At the same time, we can see even till the last minute Srila Prabhupada was instructing. If you watch the final pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, you know, it is very emotional, of course. We can see Srila Prabhupada instructing till the last minute. Till the last minute he is in the battlefield. Giving purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. Telling, and basic thing, he's telling, we are not the body, we are not the mind, we are the spirit soul. Get up for Mangalarati, come to the mode of goodness first. These are the instructions Prabhupada giving even the last stage. So Prabhupada exemplified that, not just sitting in the Dham. No, preaching. And at the end, when he was completely invalid, still in the Dham, still in the battlefield, because still he is preaching. So this is very advanced devotee. So we need to imbibe the moods. In fact, Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj says, not now, probably many years back, that Mayapur was not so developed, not so much of conveniences, amenities and luxury apartments in Mayapur. Okay. The Maharaj is telling many people, especially Westerners, they sell everything in their home country and they want to move to Mayapur and live in Mayapur. At the same time, they don't want to accept the mood of Mayapur or they don't want to live a simple life. Whatever Western lifestyle one had, one wants to port that to the Dham. He says it doesn't work. So one has to, if you are living in Dham, one has to live as a Dhamvasi. We cannot expect Melbourne in the Dham in terms of comforts. One has to be clear with that. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a rich merchant from Calcutta who retired and he went to Vrindavan. You might have heard the story. He accepted the Babaji wish and he tried to live like Goswamis, like sleeping under a tree, just very meager lifestyle. What happened? He couldn't handle the austerities and he died. Not because of perfectional stage of devotional service, but couldn't handle the austerities and he died because of that. So our aim is not to prematurely do austerities or prematurely retire, but to qualify. It is very important, and the Lord actually makes sure, I'll tell two real stories, where if one is qualified, the Lord will allow such a devotee to leave this world from the dham, if that is a desire of the Lord. It's not an absolute necessity that one has to leave this body from the dham. Anywhere is fine, it depends on the consciousness. But if a devotee so desires, Krishna can make the plan if one is qualified. One example is of Krishnadas Swami. Krishnadas Swami was probably, many may not know, even a back Godhead article came about him, was written about him. He was originally from Punjab, but he lived quite a bit of his life in, I think, South Africa and UK. He was already a devotee even before meeting Srila Prabhupada. He was even initiated in Madhu Sampradaya. He was not in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya, but in the Madhu Sampradaya. When Srila Prabhupada met Krishnadas Swami, that time he was not a Swami, he asked, has anyone given you sannyas? So he said, no. Have you already been initiated? He said, I have already been initiated in Madhu Sampradaya. So Prabhupada said, I cannot initiate you, because it's the same Sampradaya. How can one re-initiate in the same Sampradaya? So I cannot initiate you, but I can give you sannyas. That time itself, this Maharaj had the vision to preach. So Prabhupada said, we should work cooperatively and we should preach. That was the approach of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't say, become my disciple or anything. We should cooperate and we should preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishnadas Swami was very much impressed. And later he started preaching, and later he accepted sannyas from Shivaram Maharaj. And he was preaching in South Africa and many other parts of Africa. In Botswana and many other places. Then the interesting thing is, when he had a desire to leave this world in the dham. So he was really going through disease, and he was quite unwell. And he was a very strong preacher. He was quite unwell. And as they brought him to India, and they were driving from Delhi to Vrindavan, and he left the world, as he entered Vrindavan, as he crossed the boundary of Vrindavan, he left the world. He actually sustained his life till then. So if the Lord desires, one can leave the world in Vrindavan. Need the mercy of the Lord. There is a pastime of another devotee, a Russian devotee. He had a terminal disease, he had a terminal cancer. It was painful. He was in Russia and he decided, now is the time I have to retire in the holy dham, because now any time I can leave the world, and he decided to go. And then he understood that no money to travel. He's a temple devotee, and Russia is not a very rich country, and devotees were not rich. So no money to go to India. So that he was waiting what to do. That Sunday program, so many devotees came, and all of them gave a lot of donation to the temple. Then he understood, okay, Krishna is looking after. So the temple had enough money to send him and a caretaker to Vrindavan. So they went to Vrindavan, they had a room to stay. And he was continuing day after day, he was continuing his life, but it was very painful. It was very painful. So he started praying to Radharani that it is so painful that it is impeding my meditation on you. So please do something. So he passed on a few days, and one day he got up and he had no pain at all. No pain, zero pain. So he told his caretaker, today I am going to leave this world. Radharani has made the arrangement so that I don't have any pain. I can fully focus on Radha and Krishna, and I'm going to today is the day I'm going to leave. And the same day he departed. So if the Lord desires, and then devotee can, you know, this is the final retirement, and you know, pass the final lesson, get instructed about the final lesson, and go back to the spiritual world. So we need to cultivate our sadhana, we need to cultivate our seva, so that we are qualified to get to the consciousness of dham. Then we can enter dham. So that the purpose of Vanaprastha ashram is to seriously cultivate that consciousness. And purpose of Grihastha ashram is to come to the platform of Vanaprastha. Okay. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Can you explain more on Jagannath Maharaj's Vanaprastha preparation?
I am not completely aware of it. At the same time, he has spoken about it. And basically he was mentioning the same point, that in our society there is a section who is not really being addressed as a particular class. We need to first of all see them as the Vanaprastha ashram and define some services and how to do it. And there are wonderful lectures by many senior Vaishnavas about Vanaprastha ashram. I was just browsing through, I didn't listen to the lecture. Jayadvaita Maharaj has given some lectures on Vanaprastha ashram. I think I saw one lecture was do's and don'ts in Vanaprastha ashram. Okay, so you can listen to that to understand at least more on this and about practical things, physical things in terms of space, water service, etc. Things can vary, but principles and everything, we have sufficient lectures. You can find it in the internet. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir. Yes.
So many generations passed.
Yes.
Many thousands and thousands of years passed. Once they come to the stage, they want to bring him to the kingdom as the king, and he started his next year by the
yes. Yes.
So that's where it's a secret, like you can see what goes. So many years passed, but still he was able to come into Hamstar's room and still able to, you know, get progeny and
the question is, how could Priyavrata, even though he spent a long time in Gandhamadana mountain performing austerity, still how could he re-enter to his palace, continue as a Grihastha and then have progeny and retire? We had to understand that those who are directly connected to Brahma in such a close manner, their potencies are very high, including Swayambhu Manu. He's the son of Swayambhu Manu. See, Brahma's son is Swayambhu Manu, right? And his son is Priyavrata. So he's very, they are very empowered personalities. So even though they have very great longevity and they have great bodily strength, so it is on a different level altogether. That's why they are able to rule over for such a long time. They are very powerful kings. Basically by the empowerment of the Lord. They are of a different class. It's the same, it's not applicable now. If we perform austerity for long, we get old basically. We lose all the potencies, physical potencies. This is Kali Yuga. What's our longevity? Technical longevity is 100 years. But if one can reach up to late 70s, 80s, it's pretty good. Right? If one gets there, it's pretty good. So, what can we do?
I was just thinking probably in the process of connecting with the Brahma and things like that, probably they would stop aging or something like that. The aging, the kala.
Yeah, aging is there, but it is slow.
Time might, you know, stop.
Yeah. You know, you understand that time in 100,000 years. Is a normal longevity is 100,000 years in Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga. That's all. So the Yuga itself is very favorable for a long duration of life. Different kinds of bodies, so it's possible. It's inconceivable now because we struggle. You know, the age of 30 we struggle, 40 we struggle, 50 we struggle. What to speak about, you know, 100, you know, one lives up to 100, maybe it's a torture. No fun. Even Dwapara Yuga, 100, 125, nothing. All Pandavas were pretty much 125 years. They were fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna was 125 years when he was instructing Bhagavad Gita. No problem. Now, Alpayusha. What can we do? Manda sumanda madayo. What can you do? Manda, dull. And on top of that, upadritaha, always disturbed. That's our qualification. Right. Thank you. Okay. Any final question? Thank you very much. Granthashimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.